from In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, a priest of the Armenian Church. Yes, that's as ancient as you get. And this is a podcast about that ancient church. And podcast, well, that's pretty modern. So putting it all together, we come up with Armenian Orthodoxy. A look at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, but it's for today. We call that look Armadoxy. And we're inviting you to kick back right now and take a look with us. This Next Step podcast is being brought to you by, well, as the nice lady told you, Epostle. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, ready or not, we are taking those steps, so you might as well join in, right? You could hear those steps being run. And if you're listening through these headphones, you know that they go from one ear to the next, and wherever your headspace may be. If you're running with us, walking with us, crawling with us, I'm just so glad you're with us. Hey, listen, we just got back from Las Vegas, Nevada, where we participated in the New Media Expo. And this was formerly called Blog World Expo. We've been going for the last several years as Epostle, as the Epostle team. Been going in a little car, and, I mentioned that because we had a change of cars this year, and it still ended up in the same situation for one of our members. I'll tell you about that as well. So we just got back from New World Expo, and I want to share some insights and information about that. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about a little follow-up on Theophany. We just finished the celebration of Theophany and what it means to us. Got a lot of responses. Want to do a nice shout-out also to Julie, who has seen this picture, this mysterious picture on Facebook. Of, yes, that is me. That is me on Facebook with a microphone. That is my T-Pain Mr. Microphone. And I was going to say Mr. T-Pain. There used to be a product called Mr. Microphone. It has been revised in a T-Pain genre. If you don't know what T-Pain is, well, he's one of my favorites.
Make the people say yeah, yeah. You in a mansion somewhere in Wisconsin.
A little sample of T-Pain, the sound that comes from T-Pain. I think that's called auto-tune. And what it is, it kind of gives that metallic sound to it. This particular song I heard a few years ago and kind of was intrigued by this musician. And you know what? He did like this really clever little piece with President Obama. It was a video that he put together, actually, from some clips and everything. And you know what? If it's on YouTube, I'll make a note right now. If it's on YouTube, I'll make sure that it gets in today's show notes. Do check that out. But this auto-tune feature, so I kind of was intrigued by it. And, you know, I've been following T-Pain. You know, I don't even know what his songs are, particularly like this one little one that he did. And so this Christmas, my wife gave me the T-Pain Effect microphone. I call it Mr. Microphone because there used to be like this product called Mr. Microphone where you'd walk up to people and go, hey, good looking, what do you got cooking? You know, it's like, I remember that from the commercial that would come on in the middle of the night. It was a kiddie thing, but the commercials were in the middle of the night. I do remember that. So anyway, okay, so we got this microphone, and yes, Julie, it does work. I don't know if it makes my voice into T-Pain style auto-tune, but I'm here to give it a shot, okay? You asked me if I would demonstrate. Okay, here it is. We are on an audio broadcast, a podcast. You want a demonstration? Okay, I'm going to do it. So here's my T-Pain effect microphone. I'm turning it on. And I think you first try to get a beat going. Okay, got a beat going. Here we go. Ready? Epostle. It's evangelism for an electronic universe. Oh, okay. That's it. That's it. I know my wife's going to kill me for doing that on the air, but it's her fault. She got me this little toy. So anyway, this is the T-Pain effect microphone, and Julie, I hope you're happy with that, because that's all I'm gonna do. And Julie says that she's a new listener from the East Coast. This will probably be the last time she listens to. Anyway, I did it because you asked, and thank you for checking out those pictures on Facebook as well. Okay, we have had enough fun. Okay, now let's get back to religion. Okay, yes, slam on the brakes. Exactly. You can't have too much fun in religion, right? Wrong place. We have a lot of fun. And, you know, it is a celebration that we're involved in. And that's what I want to start off with today. Talk about the big celebration that we had over the past weekend. And that was the celebration of Theophany. This year, January 6th, hit it right on a Sunday. We just had a beautiful, beautiful service. I've got to tell you that there are services and there are services. This one was just flowing. You knew that there was some kind of, there was something more than the worldly at work at this celebration. And yeah, I know idealistically you want to say that, okay, it's always the case in churches, but realistically, I'll tell you, there are times where, you know, there are times where the spirit is, let's say, in overdrive. And it certainly was this past Sunday. We had this beautiful, beautiful divine liturgy that was sung by the people. In Glendale, we have a unique parish in that, you know, we don't have a choir. The choir, we do have a small little group that leads, but there's no choir robes. There's no way of delineating there. You can't tell that they're the choir over there, and no robes, everybody's just the same. And so basically the entire church sings the divine liturgy. And in the ancient times, when you look at ancient scripts, you've got, there's three parts to the divine liturgy: the priest, the deacon who assists the priest, and then the rest is not called the choir, but is called the people. Jehovurt, it says in the ancient manuscript, Jehovurt being the people, the congregation. And so we do have that in Glendale. I'm very thankful and thank God all the time that we have such a beautiful parish where these kind of things, these kind of dynamics are at play. And so this Sunday was just a very spiritual event in that we had the celebration of Theophany followed by the blessing of water. And I don't know. I got up to give the sermon and things were just cooking, flowing. In fact, I am so glad that it was recorded, because I know, I'll just tell you, I'll be really honest and I'll confess, those words weren't mine. I say a prayer before I start the sermon and I know those words weren't mine. So I went back Sunday afternoon and I listened to the recording because I wanted to know, hey, what did I say over there? What was going on over there? But it was pretty, it was very moving. It was very, very moving. And I think it had to do with the build-up. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. How important that build-up is. That build-up is called Advent. It's the period of coming. Advent means the coming. So in other words, it's the time that leads up. And I think this is so important. In fact, it's going to kind of go into what we were talking about, technology. Technology doing things at a very quick pace, fast pace. And then when you've got the church, you really have some moments for contemplation. It's not fast. It's not about 140 characters, but it's about really taking some time to absorb. And you know, the Armenian church experience is so holistic because that absorption is taken through all of your senses. You walk into the Armenian church and there's the visuals out there, and there's the your olfactory, your nose opens up. And good things Armenians have some nice nostrils too to take in, like some of these aromas of the incense, and then you have your ears to hear the melodies, the beautiful melodies, and then of course there's the touch when you're all around with people, and the kiss of peace, and communicating with one another, and ultimately taste. Your sense of taste is called into play when you receive the Holy Communion. So all the senses are at play when you go into an Armenian church. And that's part of the Armenian Orthodox experience, okay? So here we are Sunday morning, and everything is just like flowing. And you know that you're not alone over there. And do you remember last week I shared with you this idea that within the Armenian church, within Christianity, really, you understand love as a whole. I disagreed, and I maintain this. I disagree with the idea that love has to be separated into ideas as the Greeks did. And I think the Greeks, that's part of this Western idea. I think you got to go back to the East. And this is where I challenge people to come into Armenian Orthodoxy. You are going into the Eastern understanding, basically the Eastern understanding of mystery. And yes, we can identify characteristics of love, the erotic. We can characterize the filial love. We can characterize agape, right? Agape, this unconditional love, the one that we don't deserve and yet we get from God, God's love, okay? But it all comes together too. And it all comes together in the theophany when you've got Father, Son, Holy Spirit being revealed at the baptism. It all comes together at theophany when Jesus Christ, the manifestation of love, is born into the world. And so you've got that erotic, filial, and agape love coming together. And wow, it's powerful. It's powerful. We were moved to tears. I've got to tell you, Sunday morning was just... it was an experience like none other. And I think that part of it had to do with the buildup. The buildup is called the period of Advent. Okay, the Advent is, like I said, it's the coming. But what we did during the Advent, when we started off the Advent season, we started off in this walk, like looking ahead. So down the road, you see that there is Christmas. So you need to build up to it. And this is not about going out there and knocking on people's doors and saying, hey, don't say happy holidays. You got to say Merry Christmas. Yeah, you know, that's kind of cliche. It's like blasé. It's like, you know, what's wrong with a holiday? It is a holiday. It's a holy day. It's a holy day. Nothing wrong with saying happy holidays, even if you want to say season's greeting. What season is it? It's Christmas season, okay? It's what you make of it. And we got to stop going in for these small little 140 character definitions of what religion is. Religion is full. It's exciting. It takes your breath away, okay? It is erotic, filial, and agape all come together. It is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It is the totality of all your senses. It is you at that moment arriving. And the reason why we arrived is because we went through a legitimate period of Advent, of preparation. And our preparing was, well, it had meaning. During those 50 days of Advent, preparing, what did we do? It was not just reading the Bible. It was not just worshiping, but actually doing. It was a combination of the faith and the works. And so we had these incredible drives where we were collecting food, we were collecting toys, we were stitching, knitting, crocheting blankets, and taking sweaters to the hospitals. And it was a community. It wasn't just one or two people. It was the community coming together, a communal Christmas tree where we gathered all of this and then we distributed it. And, you know, it goes back to what I've been saying the past few weeks in preparation for this is, you know, if it's Jesus's birthday, you want to give him something that he wants, right? It just makes sense. Hey, if you're going to go to a birthday party, if you're going to come to my birthday party, I want to get something that, you know, you want to get me something that I want, right? Well, at least that's what I do when I go to somebody's birthday, somebody's celebration. I think about it, right? Yeah, I do. I spend a few minutes, you know. May not be hours, but I do spend a few minutes. I think, oh, what is this person like? This person likes music. Okay, maybe how about if I do a selection of different CDs? You know, this person really enjoys some nice clothing, likes to get some dress up with some sweaters, maybe a nice shirt, maybe a nice sweater, something that will be appropriate for the day. I think about it, right? That's what the person wants. Well, it's common sense. This is Jesus's birthday. Well, what would he want? Well, he tells us straight out. He tells us. In Scripture, he tells us. He says, when you give me a party, he says, don't invite the people that can give back to you. In fact, go out there and invite the poor, invite the lame, the people who have absolutely no way of paying you back. That's how I want a celebration. He says this, okay? Okay, so what are we doing? We have office parties. We have Secret Santas. That's cute. That's cute. But don't put a Christian on it. Don't put that's part of the Christmas party. It's a, you know, it's a nice little idea. Secret Santa. Or deciding that, okay, we're only going to spend $25 a person. We're only going to spend $5. We're only going to spend $50 a person. Okay, that's what you got to do. So if you're going to give a gift, you give the same amount. Okay, well, that's cute. It's okay. It's not what Christ wants. So we did this. We did what Christ wants. We went out and, you know, we have a church. Again, I'm very, very thankful for this church that we're now in the 10th year of operations by the grace of God. I don't know how we do it. I really don't. But it is by the grace of God because you got me started right now. I don't know how that place works. But anyway, we are in the middle of Glendale in very, very high politics. That I'm using that word deliberately, high politics. Think about it for a moment. There's a high level of politics from the outside and within the Armenian community. And many, many people who want to see this place closed. And we're fighting it. We're fighting it with just this pure power of love. And as I told you that we have a church that's remarkable in that we have this a service where everyone sings, it's remarkable because we subscribe to a philosophy called the In His Shoes philosophy. And that's really easy. It's a really, really easy way of looking at life and expressing love. You wanna love somebody? Well, first and foremost, you need to respect that person. You need to be able to understand their pain. This is very, very Armenian. In Armenian, there's an expression called tsavatanim. Let me take your pain. Let me understand your pain. Well, In His Shoes is exactly that. Walking in the shoes of others. Walking in His shoes. So you understand what's going on. And it's this philosophy that's based on, well, the idea that you can overcome evil with power of good, with the power of love, just as Jesus Christ did. It's a very Christian, old understanding of victory. You can overcome with the power of good. Good is more powerful than evil. Love is more powerful than hate. Life is more powerful than death. It's very basic. And especially within the Armenian community where I serve, it's of double importance because, hey, as Armenians, and I'll speak for myself, and I know we have a lot of non-Armenian listeners, but Armenians who have gone through a genocide where we were at one time homeless. We were known as the starving Armenians. what better payback is there than to be able to help others today? Now that we do have food, to be able to reach out and offer that food, to offer that drink, to offer that clothing to others. And so the In His Shoes movement is really the philosophy behind all of the work that we did. The preparation, so to speak, for the theophany. And I'll tell you, doing all that work, doing this period of Advent, got us to a point where theophany morning, Christmas morning, when we celebrated the Divine Liturgy, I tell you, I'm not the only one who was in tears that day. It was just a beautiful and beautifully moving service. I'll make sure that we put a link on to our show notes today for you to check out the sermon. It's one part of the service. And we did have quite a bit of people tuning in. We were streaming it. And we had a lot of people from the Middle East, from what I understand, from Qatar. And, from the Middle East, let me say. We had a lot of people following. And we will see. That link was available through some other radio that we networked with, Ike Radio, I believe. Anyway, we'll look for that link as well and make sure that we put it on today's show notes so you could get a better understanding of what was going on. So that's how we spent Theophany. And the day after Theophany, we were on the road to Blog World. I'm going to share that with you in a few moments. We have a song of the day today. I hope you enjoy it. A song called Shapat Gam Giragi, Saturday or Sunday. thought it was appropriate since we celebrated Theophany this year on a Saturday and Sunday. Thought that was kind of a cool little number. That comes to us from the seminarians at the Lake Sevan Vazgenyan Seminary, and that is one of the newer seminaries, I think 20 years in existence at the most, maybe 15 years, yeah. Just a beautiful place. I've been there. I've gone through there. Now, this CD, we just found out as of today, is really unavailable anywhere. And one of our listeners had asked about it when we used it in one of the podcasts. And he had asked, and so it kind of like threw me for a loop trying to find where, you know, where he could order it. I want to help out. I don't want to just say, here's the name, but say, you know, here, order a copy, because, hey, if you like this music, you got to order it and support these people. Well, I couldn't find it. And it's sad, because I was there in 2009 at the Lake Sevan Seminary, and this recording had come out 1 year earlier, even just a few months earlier. So the recording is not older than 5 years old, not even that, you know. And it's unavailable. So we're going to do a little bit of investigation. I'm going to find out if we can maybe help these people out and maybe make it available here and be the distributor, because it's just beautiful, beautiful music. That is the Seminarians at Lake Sevan. You know, right after Theophany, the following day, we opened the Datev Outreach. This is the first time for domestic violence. First time we have an official office under the auspices of the Armenian Church. I'm so proud of this endeavor and the crew that put this together. Our thanks for the Archbishop. I'm going to refrain from talking about it today because there's a lot I want to do. I want to dedicate a show to it, and I'll have some more information for you next week. Do check out our website. It is called Datev, D-A-T-E-V, outreach.org. Get some more information. Follow us on Facebook, too. Well, we just got back from Las Vegas, and I told you we went to a new media expo. And it was so exciting. I want to just share with you one of the keynote speakers who spoke at the event, and just share with you the first few minutes of that speech, because it kind of sets the tone of what this is all about and why we went. This is now the fourth year that I've gone, and we've gone together as a small little group from Epostle. And it gets funner and funner every year because the car seems to change. We always rent a car to just head out all that way. You know, it's like a one-day trip. You go there and you come back. Proximity-wise, Las Vegas is maybe about a four-hour trip for us. So we go early in the morning and get back late at night. And so we rent a car to do it. And, you know, and guess who gets the back seat? Well, it's Susie. Yeah, Susie gets thrown into the back. And she always complains because it's like a small little hole back there. Well, you know, what does she want? You know, I mean, she's just the producer of the show, right? So this time I was so excited because when I went to get the car, get a small little car, and the guy said, well, how about if I put you in the same price in this convertible Mustang? Oh, yeah, let's do it, right? We're going to be driving for 4 hours. Let's go in style. So we threw Susie in the back over there in the small little hole, and it was really small. For a big car, it's got a small back seat. So Susie's in there, and then we put down the top. Oh, was it beautiful? Gorgeous. Put down the top, and the sun is hitting us, and Anish is next to me, and we're just driving away through the desert, and the sun is hitting, and the cool breeze. And what do we look? We look in the back, and here is Susie wrapped up, you know, like, you know, we might as well have been in Saudi Arabia. She was just all wrapped up all the way around her head. All you could see was her eyes and a little bit of her face. She was freezing back there. She made us put the top back on. Okay, that's all I'm going to complain about that one. But it is a fun little trip. We do this trip once a year, and we go out there and we see what's new in the blogging world, because, you know, Epostle was born several years ago, about 10 years ago, when we started our broadcasts via the internet. But it took a different spin about 5 years ago when we started these podcasts. And podcasting has become more and more popular in the subsequent years. And there's more opportunities, different things. For instance, we saw a way to produce the podcast right on an iPhone or an iPad. Now, yeah, I know. Those of you who've listened, you know how I feel about that. But anyway, I'm a purist. I didn't go for it yet, right? Okay. That's just a little bit of a hint. Anyway, we are happy with the equipment we got, but there was all kinds of opportunities to make money, basically, off of your podcast. And one of the things that I was looking for in particular was a way to transcribe these podcasts. And we did not find the man that we had met last year. That, if you heard me last week, I told you we were on the search for the Vedan fleece. We were going to go out there and find this man. He was not there in the desert. So that didn't work out. But we had a chance to sample and witness a lot of the cutting-edge stuff that was going on. Listen to this. This is from the keynote from the event.
Technology has always changed society. And society has always had time to adapt. But not anymore. Today, change happens at light speed. And with it, new realities are created almost overnight. Experts tell us that the rate of change is continuing to accelerate. And that means that society is going to change faster than anything that humanity has ever experienced before. Futurist Ray Kurzweil predicts that in the next 10 years, the next decade, we're going to experience more technological change than in the previous 1,000 years. Welcome to the era of real-time change. Now, one of the things that's driving all of this change is that there are so many people exchanging information. More than 2.5 billion people today are connected to the web, and more are coming online all the time. Billions of them get to the web. We're generating information at a rate that is unprecedented. I'm told by ComScore that 92% of the world's data was created in just the past 2 years. That's an amazing statistic, isn't it? It's just incredible.
So it is really amazing. That. It is fascinating. It is just fascinating how much information is being processed, being made. What did he say? Like billions of devices are connected to the internet. You know, I mean, for somebody who really came into it, like I remember when the internet wasn't even an internet, and we were just we got our domain. In fact, that's what if those of you who write to me personally know that my email address is at sane.org. That is really the first Armenian internet domain that was ever registered, and I registered that back in 1988. And what was interesting about it was that I had no idea what this was going to be all about. Otherwise, I would have put a T on the end of it and made it saint.org. Otherwise, I would have paid the $35 and gotten coke.org or .com, pepsi.com. Anyway, these were all available at the time. And we did it because out of necessity. And so watching this evolve has been a real excitement for me. And, I get into it. I really get into it. I liked as much as I like to drive the car, I also like getting under the hood, so to speak. I like to, as much as I use the computers and the technology, I also like to do the programming and making it work. And you come into my office, you come into Apostle Studios, and you got a bunch of computers and microphones and booms and mice running around the place. And I mean the small little devices, the pointing device mice. And they're all around the place. And they're being held together by small little threads. You don't know how they're being held together, but they're all working in harmony, and they're working. And, you know, there's an enjoyment, there's an excitement about putting it all together. And so going out to these conferences gives us an opportunity, first of all, to meet. There is the geek element. Yes, you meet some other geeks like you. And I could tell you that it was more like that in the past. Now it's more refined. Now it's more of the business element. Now, how do we make a quick buck on this, which, you know, it's going to evolve into that, like it or not. And certainly all the vendors, all the people that we ran into were, in fact, Susie made the comment that this year was like everybody out there was now looking for us to pay them to offer, to give us a service. And, well, yeah, why not? I mean, they're sitting behind these booths that are costing them thousands of dollars. And they've got products, they've got services, but it wasn't that exciting this year. It wasn't as exciting as the early days. And I think this is just part of the evolution of technology. It gets to be mundane, where a computer was a computer, and exciting that it could go. You know, when my first computers I'd look at, and it was basically a window into the world. You can look at this small screen and you'd see the world out there. You can go to places. You can open up a museum and see what they've got on loan and check it out. Now computers have become like, you know, appliances. They're basically appliances. Similar to, you know, a toaster or a washing machine. You buy a toaster when your toaster breaks down. You don't go get your toaster repaired. It just doesn't even make sense. And that's what it's become like for computers, too. Yeah, you've got a computer under warranty a couple years old. Okay, you count on that warranty or something. But after 4 or 5 years, it's the same cost to get it repaired as it is to buy a new one. And buying the new one, you're already 2-3 generations ahead, because as the gentleman just said a few minutes ago, by the way, I didn't give you the name of that guy. I just remembered his name was Robert Tursek, and we will put a link to his show on our show notes today. But just as he said, you know, we are evolving at an incredible rate. And 2 years ago where we were, we have exponentially, not multiple, but exponentially grown since 2 years ago. And you all know that within a year and a half, that's just basically the formula for technology. It's every 18 months that everything gets doubled. So if you've gone out and bought a 64 gigabyte thumb drive, something that maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago was just cost prohibitive. You were looking at $200-$300. Now it's, I think, $20-$30. And it's the next generation that's going to be coming at the 128s and the 256 gigabytes. Some things that you were putting in your computer as a hard drive are now available on your thumb drive. And that's just the evolution of technology. That's how it evolves. And there's a pace to it. There's a speed to it. Now you say, okay, well, what does this have to do with the church? What are you talking about? You're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy, or are you talking about technology? You're talking about thumb drives and computers. Well, it all connects, right? Because if you think about it, the church has always been on that cutting edge of technology. It has used technology. In fact, it has driven many times. And why was the printing press? Think about the printing press. The Gutenberg experience. I mean, what was that? What's that all about? I mean, the first thing that they did is they put together the Bible. The first thing that they did is they printed the scriptures. And so here you go. You use the latest technology. It was a wonder, the printing press. And people probably drooled. They went to conferences and looked at it the way we look at, you know, some of the high-end technological stuff that's out there. And what's important is that it's been used for the church. What do you think stained glass is? I mean, think about it. People were just drawing on canvases. They were making pictures, and somebody said, hey, look, we can let light in, and let's use this technology. We can use the light of the windows, of the sun coming through the windows, and we can color this glass and tell a story of Christ. And so you've got stained glass windows, and the church has always been there. It's only recently that we've discounted the role of the church. And this is, I think, just all around us. It's happening all around us. You know, I do a sun sash, a once a day small little inspiration. You know, the other day I was looking for something about peace. You'd be surprised. Everyone is quoted on peace except Jesus. Isn't that interesting? I mean, there's quotes by Gandhi, who was a student of Jesus. You've got quotes basically from John Lennon to Martin Luther King. And you've got quotes from the ancient world, from conquerors, rulers, about peace. You don't have anything from Jesus. Nobody wants to touch it. I mean, you go to one of these I don't do these anymore. I just, because of the principle behind it. But you go to these public events where they say, will you offer a prayer? And just before you're ready to offer, you cannot name the deity. You cannot name the deity. That's what they tell you, okay? In fact, at the County of Los Angeles, it's actually written in the rules, okay? And they give that to you before you're going to say the prayer. So what are you praying about, you know? You can't name the deity. You can say God, but you can't name the deity. Well, who are we talking about, the deity? I'm talking about Jesus, right? You can't name the deity. You can't name it Jesus. Okay, well, you know, everybody's entitled to their own thing. And, you know, if that's what you want, then you don't get me. That's how easy that is. But when getting back to technology and using it for the benefit of the church, why not? Why not? Think about it for a moment. God asks us to use our resources. God gives us a brain. God pushes us. He gives us all the benefits of life, and he gives us everything good in this world. And he says, go ahead and use it. Well, why not, if this technology is available? I mean, just the idea that I get email from people on the other side of the earth who are listening to sermons, to podcasts, just the idea that in Qatar, in a place on the other side of the planet, this Sunday, they watched us in Glendale as we celebrated the Theophany, and it was all made available because of a simple technology. Today, simple was not simple long ago, but simple as a toaster, okay? It's a toaster technology. You put the white bread in the slots, you push down the button, and what pops out? Bread that's been toasted, that's been cooked, okay? It looks nice and brown. You could put some butter on it. Well, it's the same thing. You've got one computer sitting in Glendale, and thank you, Lilo, you turned it on, you put it together, you got on the Skype, and you did what you had to do, and you press the button. Then it's a question of another toaster, another computer on the other side of the earth, or maybe even just next door, turning on their resources, turning on their computer, pressing the button, and watching. And all of a sudden, you've created this virtual environment. A virtual environment where people can participate. Now, I've talked about this in the past. I want to continue on this thread, so to speak, and I will in the subsequent weeks as more of the new media expo stuff starts to absorb in us and we start doing some investigation. There's a lot of good stuff that's going on, and we hope to bring it out to you as EPOS listeners and participants. So stay tuned for that. For right now, stay tuned for this beautiful segment. This is Onish doing Pomegranate Seeds, a special theophany, post-theophany reflection. Here's Onish.
An Ordinary Armenian Christmas. I love Armenian Christmas. I love the fact that as an American-born Armenian, we get to celebrate Christmas with the rest of the country and enjoy the Christmas carols, the gifts, Santa, and all the trappings of the season. But then come January 6, we get to celebrate the birth and revelation of God. My earliest childhood recollection is a view of our priest dripping the holy oil into the large bowl of water during the traditional water blessing. I remember the view of all the heads below me as I sat perched on my father's shoulders above the crowd. Watch, see the dove, he said to me in Armenian. Watch carefully and you'll see the oil. It will drip from its beak. And as he said that, I remember my priest reading the prayers over the water and the mudon dripping forth from the beautiful silver dove, the vessel for the holy oil. To this day, I think of that image every time I witness this service. In our family, the celebration of Armenian Christmas was more of a celebration of worship. My parents both sang in the choir, and later I would join them. My brothers served on the altar. My grandmother sat in the pew with my younger sister, and we went to Christmas Eve service, and then the following morning to church again. We would prepare ourselves for this holy day by fasting, Of course, after church, we would have a small family dinner with my grandparents, but it wasn't the feasting and merriment of American Christmas, and I was always good with that, until this year. This year, things are different. Times are changing, and I felt it. My daughter and son-in-law's schedules didn't allow them to attend church. My son doesn't normally attend. My mom came to Christmas Eve service, but she's getting older now, and attending Sunday morning was too much for her. My husband came with me last night, and when I asked if he was attending the Sunday morning service, I didn't get an answer. I took that for a no. My sister and her family had plans. So this morning I woke up, got ready, woke my husband to say goodbye, and headed down to church. Along the way, I snapped a picture as I was driving. There was no traffic on the freeway. It was just like any other normal Sunday, and it felt very ordinary. Maybe it was the fact that Christmas fell on a Sunday this year. When it's fallen on a weekday, I take off of work. It somehow makes it less ordinary to get the day off to celebrate your holiday. As I drove, I was reflecting on how things had changed. What had happened? Today is a holy day, the birth of Christ, and the revelation that He is God. This is a big-time holiday. It deserves our attention and effort. I'm not saying it needs to be commercial, but maybe our idea for a lack of pageantry is causing this important celebration to fall by the wayside. If we don't preserve the specialness of this day, who will? I arrived at church, and walking in, I was greeted by members of my church family. They were welcoming and joyous, greeting each other with the day's greeting, Christos Zinoviev Haidnetsov, Ornella Haidnetuna Christosi. Church was packed, the energy level was high, the entire congregation was singing the hymns with the choir. I started feeling better. The sermon was powerful, and the congregation was happy as we heard of all the work we did this Christmas season, collecting toys for children in the shelter, feeding the hungry, singing for the people in the hospital, making handmade blankets for children suffering from cancer. It was a celebration of living our Christian faith. When we were called up to communion, I looked back, and there in the crowd of people, I saw my husband. Whether he felt the calling to attend, or he knew it was important to me, or both, I was happy to see him so we could celebrate this day together. During the water blessing, I watched my brother, our priest, pour the holy oil into the water, and I flashed back on my childhood and the view from on top of my father's shoulders. Even though things seemed to have changed this year, there was comfort in knowing that our service had remained the same for hundreds of years, and that this same service was going on in Armenian churches on this day all over the world. I vowed to myself to start a new tradition, to preserve the specialness of this holiday for my family. Next year, I'm inviting the family over on Armenian Christmas Eve after church, and I'm going to insist that they come, to come together and celebrate life and the blessings that we are so fortunate to have. This old tradition of celebrating Armenian Christmas in the celebratory sense has taken a back seat in our westernized life of getting back on track in the new year, but it deserves focus and preparation. It's time to make the old tradition new again. The importance of this day is determined by each of us. Do we choose to make it a priority in our lives, or have it be just an ordinary day? Christ is born and revealed. Blessed is the revelation of Christ. This is Anush, wishing you a very pomegranate Christmas, Christ-centered, filled with love, and ripe with God's blessings.
What a nice little ending there, huh? Yeah, very Christmassy. Fills in the pomegranate metaphors very nicely. You know what I liked about this story? My favorite part was when the husband returns, right? That's a or comes to the church. I shouldn't say return, comes to church. Okay, so you leave your husband in the morning, you go to church. Okay, you're happy, it's your Christmas, but you got your head down, you know, something's out off. And all of a sudden you look over and you see that he's there. I like that part of the story. It kind of touched me in a very nice way. Thank you, Onish, for sharing that beautiful story with us and for sharing your personal reflections. We'll put a link on our show notes so you could read it. It's a blog that takes place all the time inside the pomegranate. And for right now, how about a little inside news about what's going on at Apostle and how you can get involved. Here's Susie. I'll be back in a few moments and close it up for the day.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
Susie, and you know, this is an important time for us to make this plug because, you know, we just got back from the New Media Expo, and there's so many opportunities out there, and it's through your donations. It's your donations at work building this studio, and you got to really appreciate what we do because we do it on a shoestring budget, but it is beautiful. It is God-ordained, and we look forward to seeing your participation in this ministry. Please be generous in your giving. Hey, we are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. It has been a pleasure to be with you today. Kind of a reflective day. It's kind of like a mellow after Christmas, after some traveling, after Media Expo, just kind of putting it all together. We'll be back next week with some kind of like earth-shaking matters because there are quite a bit of things on the horizon that we want to talk about. It's going to be a good year for podcasting, a good year to share these kind of expressions. Listen, I'd love to hear from you and love to have you join us on this show. You can leave a message at our phone line here in the United States. It's area code 626-275-AMEN, or, you know, if you want to say it in Armenian, 626-275-AMEN. I should have said the numbers in Armenian. But it's an amen, amen thing. Amen translates to 2636. Okay? 275-2636. Amen. And drop us a line, you know, anytime, feedback@epostle.net. But on our telephone number, you can just call and leave a message as long as you want. If you get cut off, just call back. It just goes right to a small little MP3 file, which then becomes easy for us to play on the show. Just make sure if you leave a message, you let me know if it's okay for us to use your voice. That's all. Not a big deal. Just let me know. Okay, for the entire crew that put today's show together, I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to ask you to get involved at our websites, epostle.net. That's easy to remember. It's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe, epostle.net. Or check out In His Shoes. Okay? Easy to remember. Listen, for the wonderful crew, for Susie, our producer, Vahe, our webman, Inside the Pomegranate Seeds. This is Father Vodskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out.